Welcome to Spruce Grove Alliance Church, your home.
Well, we've been on a journey through the book of Colossians, and I want to finish that journey today by taking us into chapter 4, the last number of verses from the chapter, beginning at verse 7, and reading on down through verse 18, if you would like to turn in your Bible with me. We've been in a series that we've called None Like Jesus, because you know what? When we see the presence and the fullness of Jesus poured out, when we follow his life, when we follow the experiences that he led, the people whose lives he impacted, and how relevant that is for us today. So glad to have the kids with us here today, and girls and boys that are with us that are normally off in Discovery Island. It's so nice to have you here, and I just trust that you really have a good time of experience here in our worship this morning. Colossians chapter 4, beginning at verse 7. It's entitled Final Greetings, and that's the title that we put on the message for this morning. Tychicus, a beloved brother, fellow minister, and fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. Now, the Apostle Paul is writing this letter to the church of the Colossians, the church at the city of Colossae, and he's in prison. So I don't know what that would be like, but here he is. He's writing this letter, and he's communicating to the church there, and also we'll find on in a moment here to the church at Laodicea. He said, I'm sending Tychicus to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They will make known to you all things which are happening here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you. With Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you received instructions, if he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice, these are my only fellow workers for the kingdom of God who are of the circumcision, for they have proved to be a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has a great zeal for you and those who are in Laodicea and those in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Greet the brethren who are in Laodicea and Nymphas and the church that is in his house. And when this epistle is read among you, see that it is read also in the church in the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. I say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. This salutation by my own hand, Paul, remember my chains. Grace be with you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning. And as we consider it, as we weigh it, as we listen to your word, we pray that it would speak to our hearts to bring us encouragement. It's in your name we pray. Amen. You know, there was a story of a circuit riding preacher in the Old West. He would serve several different churches across the country where he served. And this one Sunday morning, it was cold. It was winter. It was blustery and snowy. And he made his way out to a little church out in the country. And he got there, and of course, there's no one there yet. He went in, and there was a box of wood and kindling. So he started a fire in the stove and sought to warm the place up. And after a while, when it was about time for church, one old rancher showed up. So he came in, and the rancher and the circuit riding preachers chatted for a little bit and stood by the warmth of the stove. And then finally, the preacher is kind of wondering what to do, and he said to the rancher, you know, should we have church, or should we just consider it an experience and go home? The rancher said, well, Reverend, I'm a rancher, and I have cows, and if one cow shows up, I feed her. Well, now that really struck the circuit riding preacher in the heart, you know, because here he was just going to quit and go home. And this really struck his heart. So he said, well, okay, we'll have church. So he got up in the pulpit and led the singing and led the prayer and read the scripture and preached the sermon. And then he got down, he pronounced a benediction and got down and went and shook the rancher's hand. And the rancher responded to him. He said, well, Reverend, he said, when one cow shows up, I feed her, but I don't give her the whole load. Well, for the last several weeks, we've been considering the valuable teaching of the Apostle Paul to the young church in Colossae. And, you know, there's a danger in doing this kind of a study that goes on over a number of weeks, working way through a book. Because, you know, it's just hard to remember what was taught 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks ago, and how does that all fit into the context of what's being said today? Bible commentator William Barclay wrote, a dedicated Christian cannot write a single sentence without making clear the great beliefs which underlie all his thoughts. So as we take a look at a book in the Bible, we see the whole thing. Well, like the preacher and the cowboy, I'm going to give you the whole load today. Let's see, it's about 5 minutes to 12. I think we're good for a while. You know, it's not raining outside, so everybody can just enjoy the day in here. Is that fair? You know, the book of Colossians has an excellent set of bookends. Paul opens the book by saying, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae. Very powerful statement that he makes next. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. What a great opening. What a great greeting. And then we go through all the stuff that he writes about in the book of Colossians. And then we come to his salutation, the closing, the other bookend, which he says, this salutation by my own hand, Paul, remember my chains, grace be with you, amen. Paul, it has been said that he didn't write all of the apostles, or pardon me, the letters, the epistles. He didn't write them all, he dictated them, and somebody else did the writing. But here he says, this is by my own hand, remember my chains. And again, that powerful statement, those four words, grace be with you. Now, in between are sandwiched so many excellent truths and lessons that we need to carry on life in the society in which they lived back then and fully relevant to the society in which we live today. Now, I've got a chart in the front of one of the study Bibles that I use, and we're going to put that chart up there. And this gives kind of that 30,000-foot view of what the book of Colossians is all about. And as we take a look at that this morning, perhaps this will spark your memory as to some of the things that we talked about over the last number of weeks that Pastor Scott and I did as well. Six segments of the book, headed by two main divisions. And part one focuses on the supremacy of Christ, which is doctrinal. This focuses on and answers the question, what did Christ do for us? And then part two of the book focuses on the matter of submission to Christ, which is practical. So the first part we've got doctrinal, the second part we've got practical. And you know, isn't it good that we have instructions and then we go ahead and put those instructions to practice? Now, it's been said sometimes of us men particularly that we really aren't into instructions. We want to dive right into the practical. So if you have spare parts left over after you put your barbecue together, maybe you didn't follow the instructions quite clearly enough. But here, when we have the doctrinal instruction to life, and then the application, it is so tremendously vital. So these two questions are broken down into six segments that are, number one, introduction. Number two, we have the preeminence of Christ, which is the whole part of that first section, the supremacy of Christ. Number three, freedom in Christ. So what has Christ done for us? And then we move into the second segment, where there's three segments, the position of the believer, who am I in Christ, the practice of the believer, and the conclusion. And that is so encouraging when we think of that from that kind of a context. So Paul opens the letter with a very powerful statement that I've made already, but I want to mention it again, a statement that should be on the lips and the lifestyle really of every person who lives their life for Christ. Every believer in Christ should be living a lifestyle where Paul says to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever noticed that sometimes when we interact in life, that people don't seem to experience the peace that perhaps they could and should? Have you ever noticed that perhaps sometimes that people aren't as gracious with one another as they could and should perhaps be sometimes? But Paul says these words, grace and peace to you. So he opens his writing of the book of Colossians with these powerful words. Grace and peace should be the normal operational gifts, because they are gifts from God. They should be the normal operational gifts in our lives today. So Paul starts out by expressing his thankfulness for these people, and he assures them of his prayers for them, mentioning some very, very powerful words. He desires that they be filled with the knowledge of God's will. He desires that they have a walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. He desires that they be fruitful in every good work. And he desires that they increase in the knowledge of God. Well, kids, you're done school for another year, and I hope that you have increased in knowledge from what you had back in September. And here you are now at the end of June. Well, you see, as we grow in our relationship with Christ, that's God's desire for us, that we move on, that we grow, and that his word becomes richer and deeper in our lives as we go along. Paul says this, dear friends, Christ must be preeminent, surpassing all others. He must be the greatest. He must be the best. He must be the finest. He must be the most outstanding, excellent, distinguished, prominent, important. Christ must be the star. He must be the star in creation. He must be the best. He must be preeminent in redemption and in the church. And that's chapter one. And then he goes on into chapter two, and he says, because of Christ's preeminence, as believers in Christ, we can now walk in freedom. We can walk in freedom from enticing words and from vain philosophy and from the judgment of other people, from improper worship and from the doctrine of men. And that's chapter two. Let's go to chapter 3. So Paul says, and I'm reading from chapter 3, verses 1 through 3 from the Message Bible. So if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, then act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbing the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what's going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. Your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, is your life in Christ in God. He is your life. He opens chapter 3 with those kinds of words, and he says, put off the old man, put off the old ways, put off the old sinful nature. Put to death things like fornication and evil desires and anger and filthy language and perhaps more in the list. And then he says, put on the new man, put on the new clothing yourself with the love of Christ. So it's like we took off an old dirty jacket and we put on a new one, put on the new man tender mercies and kindness and love and the peace of God. He says in verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Paul addresses holiness. He addresses holiness in family life, in work life, in public life, because he wants the people to be real. He wants the people to be authentic. He wants the people to walk in truth. And then he moves into the conclusion of his letter with commendations and greetings. And he lists 11 names in chapter 4 as he concludes his letter. And I want to spend a few moments on those 11 names this morning. Who were these people that Saul or that Paul was greeting? Who were these people that qualified for such an honor that he would write, especially at the end of this letter that was going to be read to the church? You know, when we start to acknowledge people by name, it's always a little risky, because when we are going to say thank you, you know, we say thank you to our staff, or we say thank you to this. So we start mentioning names, and you know, oh boy, what do I do if I forget someone, you know? But here Paul is being very specific, and let me take us through this list. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister. We find him back in Ephesians chapter 6 as well. He mentions Onesimus. You see, Onesimus is the fellow that was in the book of Philemon, and the appeal is being made to Philemon, who was the slave owner. He said, take him back. He's a good man. Yes, he's done wrong, but take him back. And here he mentions Onesimus. He mentions Aristarchus, a companion of Paul during various trials. Acts chapter 19, if you want to look him up there. Paul is saying, you know what, things were tough. I was really in difficult circumstances, and here's this man that held true to me. He didn't abandon me. He held true, and he's a faithful companion. Mark, he mentions Mark. You see, remember back in Acts chapter 12, where Mark and Paul had a great argument, and there was a great falling out, and they were done with each other, and Mark says, I'm out of here, and he's gone. Well, here now Mark is in Colossae, and Paul is saying, Mark, be sure and say hello to Mark. Justus, a believer who turned from religious Judaism to Christ. Sometimes maybe there are people who are hung up in all kinds of religious trappings, and they turn to Christ. And here was Justus. Epaphras, a great prayer warrior and a servant in the church. Say hello to Epaphras for me, please. And Luke, the beloved doctor, that's where he was. And say hello to Luke, would you please? And then there's Demas. Say hello to Demas. I feel sad. You see, Demas threw his faith aside and just threw up his hand and said, I'm done with this stuff. I'm done with this relationship with Jesus. I'm out of here. Say hello to Demas, would you please? And Nymphas, oh, Nymphas. What a guy, opened his home so many times for the place where we could gather to worship. Please say hello to Nymphas and his family. And then there's Archippus. Oh boy, what a guy. He was given a task, and it was tough, and he needed encouragement. So please don't forget to say hello to Archippus. And then me, well, I'm the last, Paul says. I'm in prison, but I extend grace to you. So we would maybe ask, why bother with a list like this? Why did it matter who Paul was wanting greetings extended to? Why would it matter? You know, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, my dear Timothy, my beloved son, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and all scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped in every good work. So these verses in chapter 4 from 7 to the end are profitable. I wonder why they're profitable. I believe that the chapter, the book, kind of ends with a bit of a surprise. So let's take these people and take them to the practical life of the church today. I'm going to go through the list again. But think of a name. Perhaps you know of a name that would just fit. You say, yes, his name was Tychicus. And all the Tychicuses that I know that are faithful, diligent servants, just think of some of those names that you've met over the years. Those faithful, diligent servants. It just seems like they're always there. It just seems like whenever, you know, it's in the context of teaching and worship and so on, they're always there. They're always there greeting at the door. They're always there in the foyer. Those Tychicuses, say hello to them. The Onesimuses. Oh, you might think of somebody that's run away and said, I'm going to get out of here. I don't want to be here. They run away and they realize later on their error of their ways. And they've come back. They've repented and are seeking restoration. The Aristarchuses, those who've the faithful companions. There's been times in my ministry life where I've had men particularly that have come alongside me and said, Pastor, let's go for coffee. I want to encourage you. Let's go. I want you to be assured of my prayers. So we have those Aristarchuses in our lives. We have the Marks in our lives, the ones that say, I'm out of here. We can't get along. Let's just agree to disagree, and I'm out of here. And then later on, they come back, and they repent of their stubbornness, and they recommit their life to Christ. And then the Justices, those formerly religious people who trust in Christ, and perhaps you've met people that have been caught up in, I'll call it religious bondage, and they realize the light and the life of Christ, and they say, I want to know Jesus as my Savior. The Epaphrases, those wonderful prayer warriors and servants, those people that it just seems like that prayer in their life is number one in the church. And then there's the Lukes, the Dr. Lukes, those faithful people who go out about their career Monday to Friday. They work hard, and then they're there in the church. They're those faithful servants in the community. The Demases. Oh, it grieves my heart when I think of the people that sometimes we encounter that have said, I've had enough of this. This isn't for me. I'm going to set this aside. I'm going to dump it. I'm going to move on. I don't need this Jesus stuff. There's the Nymphases, always having their homes open. They're the ones that are hosting a life group in their home, and they're the ones that don't mind a little shoe dirt on their carpet or a little mud at their foyer door, welcoming people in. They're the ones that have the dirty coffee cups left over in the sink after the life group has left. And they love each other, and they shake hands and pat backs with smiles, and they say, come again next week. Those wonderful Nymphases that have their home open. And then there's the Archippuses, those people who are willing to take on tasks, and maybe almost the task is bigger than they can handle, and they need encouragement. And then Paul himself says, faithful to the end, amid good times and bad. So why would Paul put a list like this in there for us and for our reading? Is because we have people just like that right seated here this morning, friends. We have people just like that, that if Paul was writing a letter to us, which he is, he could say, I want to send greetings to you. I want to send greetings to those diligent servants and all of those that are on that list. They all deserve that kind of a salutation. And they all deserve that salutation that Paul wraps this book up with, saying, grace be with you all. We all need to know the fullness of God's love and his grace. Well, as we conclude today and I invite the worship team back to the platform, I want us to be aware of others in the church. There are no doubt some of the same, some that are maybe different than yourself, some that you maybe don't know very well, some that get a little more airtime, we might say, those that serve so faithfully. They deserve that kind of a gracious greeting. Grace and peace be with you all. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Spruce Grove Alliance Church. For more information or to hear past messages, please visit sgac.net.